First Timothy 2, verses 8 through 10, these are God's words. I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. So for the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So the apostle has been telling Timothy, as he gives Timothy direction for reformation in the church, that one of the first things that is to be done is that prayers be made for all sorts of people, especially kings and those in high position, so that they may lead quiet and peaceful lives in godliness and reverence. And then he describes how this is a participation in the desire and mission and work of God, who is redeeming to himself, reconciling to himself, and redeeming for himself people through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he returns now to how this works out in the church gatherings. Now, all believers are called to be people who pray, but in the church gatherings, there are particular roles for men in verse 8, and for women in verses 9 and 10. The men are to be the one who lead in prayer. And he's using the word that's translated men here is the one that is specific to males. The word man or men previously in chapter 2 is a generic word that means all humans, including females. This one specifically excludes females. And he says, I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Now, this is true that they are to be holy men. But here he's talking about being set apart for the purpose of leadership. Because of the age in which we live and the lifting of hands usually being the person who gets lost in themselves, or at least wants to give that impression, and kind of letting go control or whatever, we may not very well understand what this lifting of hands is. But this lifting of hands is, in the scriptures, something that the worship leader does, particularly in prayer or in benediction. And perhaps the plainest example of that is Psalm 134, where the servants of the Lord in the evening service in the temple are the ones who stand in front of the congregation and lift their hands. So it is, when it describes lifting hands, it's talking about leadership. And all of the men of the church then are to be aiming at and working towards being the sort of holy man who can fulfill the set-apart responsibility of being a leader of the church in prayer. This means that a man should be well-practiced in being a leader of his family in prayer. His wife and his children should be able to learn by experience how to come before God well from the Word of God, aiming at the purposes of God, in dependence upon the power of God given by the Spirit of God. They should have that modeled for them so that when they come to their private praying, they find it more and more, natural isn't the word, habitual, well formed in them through modeling, being led, and then their own practice. And the man who is praying for kings and those in high position, and indeed for all people, so that we may live quiet that is externally quiet and peaceful, that is internally quiet lives, he needs to be that sort of man himself. A man who is always agitating in the public sphere and is always up in arms about, you know, the latest thing this politician did or that person is conspiring to do or whatever. That is not the sort of man that is described in verse 8. No, this sort of man is one who is without wrath, externally quiet, or doubting, internally peaceful. He is the sort of man that the Lord is aiming at in verse 2 of this chapter, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. So we men, and all of us indeed, but for the purpose of leading in prayer, it's we men, ought to be seeking from God for ourselves, first of all, to be the sort of men that we hope, the sort of people that we hope he will be producing in his church and from the world as he redeems people from the world into his church. The apostle doesn't leave the ladies out. He says in verse 9, in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation. It's a little bit of an oxymoron, or a not entirely a contradiction, but there's a tension in the terms. Women don't think of adorning themselves with that which will not draw attention to itself or stick out or make them the focus of anything. He says, well, that's the first part of a woman's adornment. And this may be such things as not wearing bright colors, not wearing tight cuts, those sorts of things. But it also goes to not wearing fancy things, watching against the desire in your heart that someone would notice your new outfit and tell you how lovely it is. Now, that doesn't mean you've sinned if somebody notices your new outfit and tells you how lovely it is. But it might mean that you try not to wear new outfits too often, since probably by the third or fourth time the person compliments you on your new outfit and you say, you said that last time, you know, they will realize what they're doing and stop saying something about it. But a woman doesn't want attention drawn to herself. A woman wants to be modest with propriety and moderation. Now, it's very different when she's alone with her husband. She wants to be as attractive as possible to him. But the attraction in the church is the church as a whole. The church is the bride, not any individual woman in the church. And the bride is adorned by not how lovely the women appear to the eye, but by the good works, and particularly by good works that God alone sees. As the Lord Jesus teaches us in Matthew 6, we are to not let our left hand know what our right hand is doing. We're trying to keep our good works as secret as possible, because they are especially for our Father in heaven, who sees in secret. Now, these women are professing godliness, so they too are aiming at, even before coming to the worship service, the sort of character that you see at the end of verse 2, in all godliness and reverence. And one of the ways that they participate in and help the prayers of the congregation is that when God looks down upon the congregation, he sees his son, and he sees the fruit and the character of his son being worked out in the ladies' lives. And so it's not something that you're going to see published in the prayer meeting folder, and it's not something that you're going to hear audibly as the men are standing up and leading in prayer. But it is something that the living God sees from heaven. And it is a much more powerful version of saying, in Jesus' name, when the prayers are being lifted from hearts in the congregation that bear Jesus' character. The Lord answers our prayers for the sake of his love and for the sake of his Son, whom he has given in that love and to whom he has united us. Jesus is the one who earns that which the Father's love desires to give to us. And so, if a woman professes godliness, how should she dress? Well, as invisibly as possible. Which means not just not too fancy, it also means not too homely. A woman who is trying to make the homeliness of her dress is literally trying to wear her good works where everyone can see them. That's not secret. And so he uses the words modest, propriety, and moderation. The word modest means suitable or orderly. The word propriety means respecting others rather than drawing attention to themselves. This is the sort of woman who is not constantly thinking about what others think of her because she is giving too much of her attention to care for and compassion towards and patience with and trying to think of how she may be helpful to others. So propriety. She puts herself in her place. She doesn't think too highly of herself, but rather with sober judgment. And she seeks to give herself to serving others, not to being thought well of by others. And then moderation. Sensible, wise, judicious, restrained. And maybe that last word is the most helpful for thinking about carrying yourself in moderation. That, of course, has to do with much more than just dress. It means not having a boisterous personality or being dramatic or any of the other things that a woman who really wants to be appreciated is tempted to do in front of men. The way to aim at this, my dear daughters, is to remember that it is the Lord whom you most wish to have appreciate you, and he already does. Not only has he loved you and given you Christ, but once he has given you Christ and you're united to him, then you may be confident that he is as pleased with you in a sense of your standing as he is with Jesus. You're justified in Jesus. You're adopted in Jesus. You're loved in him. And then when you think about the Lord appreciating you and the Lord, what the Lord sees when he sees you, then you're freed to give him all of the godliness of heart and life. Not just heart, but also good works there at the end of verse 10. Even the woman who is married to a man who refuses to obey the word, 1 Peter 3 tells us, may still, by a gentle and quiet spirit, or her humble service and her patient example, hope that her husband will be one without a word, but he might not be. But what 1 Peter 3 says is that this conduct of hers and this heart of hers is very precious in the sight of the Lord. And so she can learn the lesson that took Leah four sons to learn. That however else anybody else appreciates it, even her husband, and God helping us, and being merciful to you and merciful to whomever you marry, you will not have the sad state of Leah or the wife in 1 Peter 3. But even if you did, you would still have your Lord and your gentle and quiet spirit, and in this case, you're adorning yourselves with modest apparel and not trying to stick out or make show of yourself. Those things will be very precious in his sight. And you can have that sweet fellowship with him and knowledge, that contentment with the knowledge that it's very precious in his sight. And so as the church gathers to lift the prayers that the apostle has been calling for since the beginning of this chapter, the men and the women both are to have sought from God and worked at and dependence upon God the sort of character that they hope to see produced in other believers and those whom the Lord would bring to the faith. And the men are to lift up their hands, they are to lead in such praying with such character. And the women are to be led and not want to draw attention to themselves, as they also bear such character before God. Let's ask the Lord to help us in this. Father, we thank you that you have given us this passage, even on a day that we have a prayer meeting planned in the evening. And we pray that you would help us to be quiet and peaceful, that we would be without wrath, not flying into rages or making big deals out of things. And grant that we would be without doubting, that we would live with hearts that are steadied by confidence in you and in the righteousness, the justification, the right standing with you that you have given us in Jesus, so that we may also be those who are without doubting and are unshakable, even by some of the dreadful things concerning which we often pray before you in the churches and in the nation and in the nations. And so we pray that you would do this not only for our men, but for our women, not only for our boys, but for our girls. And that as you work this character in all of us, that the boys especially, you would be preparing to lead their families well in prayer in those places, and to be leaders well in prayer in the assembly. Oh Lord, help my daughters to know your delight in them, particularly in their union with Christ and the good works that your Spirit produces from Jesus in their lives. Make it sweet and delicious to them that these good works are very precious in your sight. Grant that the enjoyment of your affection and your appreciation of Christ as displayed in them, grant that this would squeeze out any felt need to be noticed by or appreciated by others. Make them, we pray, O God, powerful in the praying that occurs in their homes. Make them powerful in the praying that occurs here, that you would look at this family and see the six ladies who are full of the grace of Christ, and that with them commending us to you as a household that belongs to Jesus through faith, that you would hear us and the prayers that we lift to you. And then as you bring them into homes of their own, grant that they would be that way in their marriages and in their future homes. And we pray, Lord, for our church, that it would be full of women in whom you have done such a work, that our assemblies would have holy hands lifted by the men who lead, and holy hearts commended by good works that you have seen done in secret, and that the prayers that are lifted by these gatherings would powerfully be heard in heaven, because they have been lifted through Christ and by the help of your Spirit and in accordance with this portion of your word. O Lord, help your church, help our congregation of it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.